To your seats, that would be great. Thank you. Can I take a moment just to explain what we're doing with our creche as the church? We used to run a creche upstairs. All our children's ministries are upstairs taking place right now. And we used to run a creche. We ran into a bit of challenge with our rostering in terms of the creche and people that would be involved in that. And so we decided we had to close the creche. And so what we've created on the left-hand rear side of the auditorium is just a little space for parents in terms of giving you a place to go with your toddler just be so that you can still be involved in the service. It's an area where it's not a high noise area, obviously, because it's in the auditorium. And so we want clunky toys and all that, so we monitor what goes in there. We do ask mums and dads, if you use that area, it's not like a drop-off area where you just check your kid in and walk away and let them run all around the auditorium. We do want it to be controlled. So if you could be there with your child, your toddler, that would be amazing and wonderful for everybody if you could help us with that. As soon as we can, we'll have our full creche functioning again once we've got a full team and a full roster all set for that. We're going to pray for a few people before we talk this morning. We're going to pray for Neil Van Emmerich's mum. Her name is Finey, and she's of mature age and having some real challenges at the moment. We're going to pray for her and pray that God will come through and help her and bring healing into her heart. We're also going to pray for Alan Cotton today. Alan's not well. Pray for Alan. Pray that God will be with him. We're going to pray for Dale Evans, who is part of our sound and production ministry and team. Dale's having some real challenges with his hearing at the moment. He's having treatment at the hospital for several hours every day in terms of a chamber that he has to go into, which is obviously not good if you're in the whole sound industry and that's your profession and also your calling. So we're going to pray for those people today. Why don't you reach out your hand? Maybe there's areas in your life, world, family that also need prayer today. Why don't you believe God for your own area of concern this morning in Jesus' name? Father, we thank you today. You're a prayer hearing and you're a prayer honoring God. And we pray for our friends today that are in need. We just pray, God, that you would bring healing and health and life to every one of them in Jesus' name. We pray for Neil's mum today. We're praying, be with her, Father. Help her with these complications in her stomach. Help her to be made well and whole and bring healing and health and life to her today is what we pray in Jesus' precious name. We pray for Alan today. Raise him up, Lord. Give him healing and health and life today also. And for Dale, Father, we're believing for wholeness. We're believing for healing, Lord, with the issues in his back and the issues in his hearing today in Jesus' name. For every other concern that we have, we lean into your heart today for our friends and our families, and we're praying for healing, health, and wholeness in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to continue today some thoughts we've been talking about last week, which is called scripting and steering. Scripting and steering. We're talking about words is what we're talking about, and the importance of words. Words are very important to me with what I do. I spend a lot of time crafting. I spend a lot of time building phrases and thoughts and words and polishing. You might not think that, but I do in terms of how I communicate. I never come to the stage wanting to be a great orator. I'm not that kind of speaker in terms of being a great orator. I'm not here to impress anybody. I'm here to give a divine exchange of what I believe is the God word for us as a church. But in delivering that God word, I think it's my responsibility to make sure I've done the best I can to phrase things so that you can remember things, so that you walk away not just with a sense of, well, that was a nice thought, or that was a nice talk, or Tony did okay today, but to walk away on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever day of the week it is, being able to recall and remember some of the things that we talked about in church, which is a real challenge. Because if I asked you what I spoke about last week, for many of us, it'd be like, I'm sure you mentioned the Bible, maybe, might have said the word Jesus, very general. It's hard to recall, so I work hard to make it so that we can recall. So scripting and steering is intentional in terms of helping us to understand the importance and the value of words. Words. We all have words that we use on a daily basis. I'm using my words now. You're using your words right now in terms of your internal dialogue, your self-talk, the thoughts that you have for the afternoon or the evening or what you're going to have for lunch today or what you've got waiting for you at the desk on Monday when you return to work or your future plans. We sit here with all kinds of talk and conversation going on. Words are important to help us communicate with each other. They're important in relationships. You say the wrong word, you're going to get a bad outcome in terms of relational exchanges with people. Words are important in the way they're imparted, the way that we give them to people. It's not just a matter of having the right word, it's using the right word in the right way. I was extremely privileged to be raised in a church when I first, and Cheryl and I first entered ministry after Bible college, that our senior pastor was an absolute craftsman and master when it came to words. He was a school teacher and he was extremely intentional and deliberate in the way that he communicated and spoke. He chose his words very carefully. And I used to sit there as a young assistant pastor and listen to him speak, and the way that he phrased and his language, his body language, his engagement, his connection, his passion, his enthusiasm, his intelligence, his having the right word at the right moment kind of presentation. And I would sit there in awe and think, God, I want to be able to do that one day. Because when I first came out of college, I was so mechanical. I was so woody. I was so careful in the way I developed things that I really didn't have the sense of engagement that you need to have as a presenter of God's Word. I didn't have that. But I learnt to develop that by watching very closely how my senior pastor valued phrasing and valued words and valued the Word of God. Valued the Word of God so much that he wanted to impart it in a way that people could walk away and live it. And live it. Because this is not entertainment. This is not entertainment. I'm not here to entertain. I'm not here to tickle ears. I'm not here to impress. I'm not here to preach for an offering. I'm not here to be a great orator. I'm here to be someone that leads us in the Word of God so that we can live the Word of God. To script and steer. So scripting. Scripting refers to the way words become the script that we live by. We all live by certain scripts. We all have certain scripts that we live by, that we adhere to. They're like maps. It's like a GPS map in our mind. And our scripts take us to our destination. They take us in a certain direction in life. The truth is that these scripts, they become our reality, they become our truth. Whether they're true or not is debatable, but they become our truth. And there's a lot of people living scripts that are not true. Scripts that are faulty. Scripts that are even outdated. Scripts that are prejudiced. Scripts that come from poor scripters of the past. And have just passed on mistakes and errors, and we now live them thinking that it's truth. And so scripting is extremely important. It's extremely important, scripting. Scripting, we understand that thought when it comes to actors. Actors work from a script. It's written for them. Politicians work from a script. They read it and present it. Scripting happens in computer language. If you're a computer nerd, you understand in terms of how scripting works so that software-wise, machinery can talk to machinery and software can fulfill certain functions. So we understand the concept of scripting when it comes to other things, but I'm not sure we understand the concept of scripting when it comes to our own heart and the way we respond and the way we engage, the way we relate and the way we behave. A lot of the malfunctions that we have relationally, not only with God but with people, is because of the scripting that's faulty in our own heart, that we need to re-script. And we need to remap, because the territory we're enjoying or exploring is not the territory that God wants us to live in. God's got a great future, a better future, a brighter future for every one of us in terms of the scripting that he wants us to have. Steering, well, that refers to our words and how words ultimately determine the direction of our life. I'd like you to turn to the book of Genesis, please. I'll put it on the big screen if you don't have a Bible. Genesis chapter 3. verses 8 to 11, which is an example of scripting way back in the book of Origins, the book of First Beginnings, the book of Genesis, where it says this in verse 8. It says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day." This is the story of Genesis, Adam and Eve, God's first creation, man and woman. And it's implied and understood that God would come and walk in the garden in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. What a beautiful, intimate relationship they had, where they'd enjoy conversation and communion with God. It was a special relationship before sin came in the world. And then on this day, God comes, as was his usual pattern, and he looks for Adam and Eve, and it says, "They hid from the Lord God. They hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord called out to man, 'Where are you?' And he answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid.' And God said to him, 'Who told you?'" Who? Three of the most potent words in the entire Bible. Who told you? Who told you that? Who told you that you were naked? "Have you eaten from the tree that I've commanded you not to eat from?" Bit of a mystery, this verse, because for most of us, we don't need to be told we're naked. You know when you're naked. You know, naked, even that word, it's a thought of exposure, of vulnerability, of everything being seen by everybody. But there was a time when that wasn't wrong. There was a time when there was no thought of inappropriateness about that. It would be totally inappropriate today for you to come to church in a vulnerable state like that. I'm just saying that because I want us all to understand. Covering after sin is important. Important. But here, nakedness was something new. Sin was something new. Sin came into the world, the Bible says, and as a result of sin, they required covering. They required animal skins and leaves to clothe them and to hide them. And here they were hiding from God. And what's interesting is these verses show how the script changed for Adam and Eve. See, up until then, the script was this: go and have dominion, go and be leaders, go and dominate in the garden, go and look after everything in the garden, the animals and the plants and the trees, and build and create and rule and just enjoy life. And so Adam and Eve started doing this, and Adam was confident and Eve was confident in the calling and the posture they had before God, and they'd enjoy his company, and God had come calling in the garden, and Adam and Eve had come running over and just enjoy God's company. And however that looked, I'm not quite sure, but it sounds like a very intimate community that they had with God. Then all of a sudden, one day it all changed because the script changed. Because something entered the heart of Adam. Something pierced his heart that would change his heart forever. A new script came. A new script writer entered the world who changed the relationship that this man, this first man and this first woman had with God. So rather than being confident and productive and fearless and fruitful, they now became all the reverse of those things because of what had entered into the heart. Adam said, "I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid." And God said, "Who told you that, Adam? Who talked to you? Who have you listened to? Who have you given ear to? Who pierced your heart with that thought? Who wrote that script? Because I created you to be a leader. I created you to have dominion. I created you to be fearless. I created you to be fruitful. I created you to be the first. I created you to be faithful. And here you are hiding from me. Why are you scared of me? Why are you afraid of me? Why are you ashamed of your nakedness that I created?" Because we were never intended to be ashamed or afraid and hiding and running from God. But you know, church, this is the truth of what happens for all of us when wrong words settle in our heart, when the script changes for us and a different script begins to enter our mind and our heart, our behavior changes, our responses to God change because of a shift in script. And what happens is the life is taken away from us. God's best is stolen from us, and we move away from God's way and away from God's plan. And rather than running to meet with God, we run away from God. And you see it all the time. You see people's posture change and gradual shifts and movements in disposition take place, where what they once enjoyed, all of a sudden now they flee from because of their nakedness. We spoke last week about how this all works in terms of our heart being the source of where our scripting flows. Can you put that screen up for me, boys, please? How our heart is the source of where our scripting flows from. Jesus said it like this: out of the heart, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Proverbs 4 talks about it in terms of the value, importance and priority of guarding the heart, because out of the heart flow all the issues of life. In other words, the boundaries of life, the territory you enjoy flows from the scripting that's in your heart. It's a source of it. Then our words become dictated. They're dictated by the script that is in our heart, that theme that is in our heart. It's from the mouth that we speak the overflow of the scripting that's in our heart. And then our future, our story, unfolds from all of this. And so the meditations of our heart and the words of our mouth, they direct the story and the future that we all enjoy. There's an old rhyme, maybe you've heard it: sticks and stones won't break my bones. Yeah, words will never hurt me. It's a nice little rhyme. But just because it's a rhyme doesn't mean it's actually true. Because the truth is, words will hurt you. Words do hurt you. Words impact us. Words influence us. Words leave impressions on our hearts. Words hurt. Words wound. Words hinder. Words harm. And so do names. Sticks and stones don't break my bones. Names will never hurt me. Who had a nickname when you were a kid? Anyone give you a nickname when you were young? It's cruel. Kids do it. Parents do it. I had a certain nickname when I was young. If you look at me right now, I have a rather large organ on my head, my nose, and it's pointy. And it moves when I talk, which was pointed out to me by a rather nasty person a few years ago. They said, "Do you know that your nose moves every time you talk?" And they used to call me Needle Nose. Everybody else thought it was funny, but the man with the sharp nose. It wounded me. It hurt me. We used to have CB radios. Who remembers what a CB radio was? Many years ago, and my call name on the CB radio, you guessed it. Everyone else had these really cool names. What was mine? Needle Nose. Needle Nose. And you grow up with a complex in terms of these things. It might be your ears. It might be your nose. It might be your eyes. It might be like traffic lights, one on top of the other. You know, people make jokes about them and certain, deformities that we might have. And it wounds when people... I've got over the needle nose issue, by the way. It's because there's other deformities I have that are much more. It's just what happens in life. Words hurt, words wound, words hinder. And we need to be very careful about how we embrace the words that are spoken to us, that are spoken over us, that are said about us. Be very careful how you frame those things. And don't take them into your heart and let them become a script that determines how you live. Many years ago in the Bible, there was a moment when the children of Israel were in a very tight spot, and they'd been plundered by their enemy for many, many years. And God wanted to raise up a young man to be the leader of the children of Israel. His name was Gideon. And Gideon was personally in a difficult and challenging moment when God sent a messenger to him and told him what he wanted him to do. And Gideon's response initially was, "Well, God, if you're so good and we're going to be blessed so much as a people, then why? Why are we suffering as we're suffering? Why have you abandoned us?" was his accusation. "Why have you abandoned us?" You know, that's a lie of the devil that comes along to every one of us when we're in challenging moments from time to time. God, why have you abandoned me? I don't know where Gideon really got that thought from. I don't know whether he got it from the village or from the tribe or from the family. You know, they'd sit around and tell their country and western songs and talk about the losses that they had and the pain and the suffering and the circumstances. And there was a sense of bitterness. There was a sense of betrayal. There was a sense of, God, you've failed us as a family. You've let us down. We're supposed to be your chosen people. There's supposed to be these amazing promises and this promised land. But here we are getting attacked every time we just take one step forward, we go two steps back. We can never seem to get ahead. And I think Gideon was raised in that kind of environment of negativity where his scripting was, God, you've abandoned us. You've left us all alone and we're left to our own devices. That's an example of scripting. It's an example of scripting where Gideon was living from this negative script and these negative outcomes that had happened for years and years. And I'm not exactly who told him, but I'm sure he heard some conversations and he repeated them and he started to believe them. And now it's on his heart and it's affecting how he responds to people. It's determining how he responds to opportunity and to calling. It determines how he lives every day. And then he's hiding and just gleaning enough food for himself. And he's got a gathering mentality rather than a sharing and giving mentality. Why? Because God's abandoned me. And when you feel God's abandoned you, it's like, it's all up to me now. That's what the thought of abandonment means. It's all up to me. I don't have anyone else. I can't depend on anyone. I can't trust anybody. And so I'm going to live this way. And it began directing and dictating his life. And not only his life, but the life of the nation. That was Gideon's reality that he thought was true, but it was far from true. Jesus showed us when he came. He said this to his disciples and to all of us, really. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Now, the oxymoron of that was he was leaving. But in his leaving, he wanted us to be comforted and to know, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm ever present. And even in my leaving, I'm going to send another who's just like me, the Holy Spirit, who's going to be your comforter, your guide, your teacher, one that you can lean on, you can depend on him and you can trust him. Why? Because he's just like me. He's just like me. And we're a part of this beautiful thing called the Godhead. And we're here for you. We're not leaving you to your own devices. Can I say this? The presence of problems never, never means the absence of God. The presence of problems does not mean, God, you've abandoned me. It doesn't mean that at all. It means you're in a trial. It means you're in a test. It means you're alive and living. It means you're a human being. It means you're on the journey. You're on the pathway of following God. When we have trials and when we have problems and when we have challenges and when we have difficulties, it doesn't mean that God has left me. Circumstances do not define the presence of God Almighty. Not at all. Scripting. Scripting happens when you overhear something or someone speaks words into your world and into your life that you start to repeat. You start to talk it up. You give it energy. You give it airtime. You give it play in your head and out. You give it voice. You give it a home in your heart. And what happens is you begin to embrace it and you begin to live it and you begin to believe it about yourself. The kind of scripting that happens when you lose a job or two and you have a few failures. You have a broken relationship. You experience some grief and some loss. Your children go a different direction in life and you think you're a failure as a parent. And the language of I'm hopeless and I'm useless and everything I touch breaks and I'm always a failure. And we've all had those moments. And in those moments, we have a choice whether we're going to make it a script or whether it's just going to be a moment. It's okay to have a moment, but don't ever make a moment your script, where you embrace it as being your new truth and your new reality. Just because you believe it doesn't mean it's true. Just because you believe it doesn't mean it's actually true. You may be living from it as if it's true, but it doesn't make it true. We're talking today about how we all live from scripts. We all live from the script of our heart. The second thing that Gideon said to God was this. He says, God, when God called him to be this great leader and to deliver the children of Israel from what they were going through, Gideon says, God, the tribe I'm born into, I don't know whether you've noticed, I don't know whether you've looked at our tribe, but out of all the tribes of Israel, we're the weakest. So if you're looking for a leader, why are you not looking for a leader in like the tribe of Judah, the strong tribe? Why are you looking for a leader in my tribe? Because my tribe, don't know whether you've had a look at the tribal list lately, God, we're not high on the pecking order. We're like, we're the lowest of the low here, God. We're the tribe that just takes care of everybody else. We're not real significant. So in other words, he's saying, God, you got the wrong guy. Which is what we all do when God calls us to do something. You've got the wrong person. You've called the wrong man. And I don't know whether you've noticed, God, in our tribe, the lowest tribe, well, in that tribe, I'm like the runt of the litter. I'm like the least of the least. I'm the most, I'm the most likely to fail person in our entire family and tribe, and you're calling me? Why did he respond that way? Because of the scripting of his heart. That was his scripting. That was his conversation. That was the overflow of his heart. It was a script of inadequacy, a script of inferiority, a script of insufficiency and insecurity. And there's probably not a person in the room that hasn't lived from that script. I can't do it. I'm not enough. I'll never be enough. I'll never be good enough. I'll never be brave enough. I'll never be strong enough. I'll never be smart enough. I'll never be educated enough. I'll never be intelligent enough. I'll never be liked enough. I'll never be connected enough. I'll never be enough of a people person. There's so many excuses as to why we can't do what we can't do. When God called us into ministry many, many years ago, I wasn't born naturally with a microphone in my hand. I couldn't talk. I didn't want to talk. I hardly ever talked. I was in Bible college for 3 years, and I think I spoke 3 words, literally. People would come to Cheryl because she spoke many words, and they would come to Cheryl, and they would say to Cheryl, is your husband okay? Like, seriously, is there something wrong with him? He never talks. And my response was simple. When I have something to say, I'll say it. I just don't have a voice yet. I have nothing to say yet. Can I say to every mum and dad in the room, can I say to every leader in the room today, don't ever judge someone because they don't have a voice yet. It just means they don't have a voice yet. One day your son and your daughters, they will find their voice. They will find their voice in life. They will find their confidence. They will break out of their insecurity. But your role and my role and God's role is to help rewrite the scripting that is in their heart because of sin. It's there because of sin. It's there because of what Adam did, not necessarily because of what we do, but it's instilled in us where the script is all fuzzy and the script is not making sense. But when you get it re-scripted by God, by the Holy Spirit, and by the Word of God, and get His Word in our heart coming out of our Word, and that's the overflow of our heart, the script changes, the belief changes, the posture changes. We don't run from God, we run to God. We enjoy His company, we enjoy His communion, we enjoy intimacy. We're not just hiding anymore from Him. We need a new script. We need a better script. We respond the way we do in our relationships and in our interactions and in our faith life and church even and to our leaders because of the scripting in our heart. Words impact us at a very young age. Very young age. People say things to you. People say things about you. People say things in your presence around you that affect you. And you pick up things about people by what others have said, which may not be true at all. It's just what somebody has repeated. And you embrace it, and you believe it, and you repeat it, and you pass it on. There are some things we just need to stop in their track and rewrite a healthier script. I want to talk to us today as we draw to a conclusion about how we can open up our heart to a new script. How we can open up our heart to a new script, a better script, a brighter future. So the question's posed, what can we do, or what do we do, to overcome the power of negative scripting, both past and present? Both past and present. What do we do to overcome the power of negative scripting, whether it's come from my childhood, my family, my environment, my culture, even my religion, my relationships, my marriage, my career, my work experience? What do? To overcome the power of negative scripting when it diverts me from a direction that I don't really want to go. How can I control the script? How can I control the steering to move life forward in the right direction? The book of Psalms says this in Psalm 19 verse 14. It says, let the words of my mouth, we used to sing it, I'm not going to put you through that today, I won't sing it, but it's a good old song. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Can I ask you what's in your heart today? What's the script of your heart today? What's playing as a theme of your heart today, right now, about you? About you. About who you think you are and who you think you could be. What's the script of your heart relationally? What's the script of your heart with faith? With God and the thoughts that you have about what God is doing and will do in your future. What have you allowed in your heart? Are there negative things in your heart today you need to get out of your heart? You need to extract what has been instilled? What's in there today? Is there jealousy in there? Is there envy in there? Is there bitterness in there? Is there offense in there? Because all these things have opportunity to come into our heart on a regular basis. That's why we need to guard our heart. Because offense and bitterness and jealousy and envy is always looking for a home within our heart. Unforgiveness, stress, strife, junk. All these things that we allow into our heart need to be careful because they rewrite scripting in our heart about how we respond and what we believe and how we behave. Here's a big question. What's your scripting in regards to authority? What's your scripting in regards to authority today? When it comes to authority figures, government, when it comes to that, what's your scripting? Do you have an anti-government kind of posture and belief system? What's your scripting towards authorities like police and people like that? What's your scripting? Is there a scripting of respect? Is there a scripting of honor? What's your scripting towards like church leadership, pastors? Well, what's our scripting towards that? What's the scripting that happens from the conversations in homes and around your world and around your life? Is it one of respect? It needs to be at all levels of authority. In regards to our families, what's your scripting towards parents? Parents aren't perfect, they're just parents. They didn't give birth to you because they were perfect. They're parents. And we expect sometimes far too much of our parents. Far too much. We need to understand most of them did the best they could with the resources they had at the time they had the opportunity to be a parent. And if you live in blame of them, God will give you the opportunity to be a parent one day yourself, and you will learn. What's your scripting in regards to all levels of authority? Because it's very, very important. A lot of people have a hard time trusting anybody that's in authority because you've been let down. Well, who hasn't been let down? Who hasn't? People will always let people down. It's happened from the very beginning, and we need to learn not to allow our heart to be re-scripted because I was let down, because I was hurt, because I was betrayed, because somebody did something bad to me. When people do bad things to you, look to a good God who only does good out of bad circumstances and situations. That's your promise, Romans 8:28. So if you have a hard time trusting, work on that. What about teachability? Well, one of the scripts I have in terms of leadership is this for people in terms of teachability. When people want to be involved in leadership in church life, one of the first things I ask them, and I ask them to understand this question, are you teachable? In other words, can I teach you? Can I lead you as pastor? Because if I can't, you can't lead for me. It can't work like that. It's got to be a teachability that happens in every one of us. And so in our young men and our young women, we make sure they understand the need for teachability. For teachability, it's really important that we have the right posture in terms of authority figures and authorities that are over our life. What about relationally? I don't have this question on screen, but let me ask you this question. What's your scripting in terms of rejection? Do you already expect people to reject you before they even meet you? Because sometimes we have that, don't we? We have that because we know who we are. We know we're not all that. We know we're really not that important. We know we don't know what they know. And so we expect to be rejected by them. And so we live with that expectancy of rejection. So we shut down relational connections all the time. It used to happen to me as a young pastor, because you live in the posture that, oh, they're so big, they're so important. They know so much, they do so much, they have such a big church, so they must be like almost God. And then I got close to them. And what I found was they weren't really a lot like God at all. They were actually a lot like me. They were just like me. And so when I understood that, my confidence grew, that I could now look them in the eye and shake their hand, and they were now my friends and my family rather than these people that I put up on this great pedestal, because we always put people on pedestals and consider others more important than ourselves. Can I say this to you? You're more important than you think you are. You are more important than you think you are in the scheme of things and in the view and perspective of God. God doesn't value position and title. God values heart and function. That we function together and find our function together as the people of God and family of God. So in terms of rejection, don't allow that to be your script, because it'll affect you relationally forever. What's your scripting about giving? About giving, do you have like a gathering script? Like gathering and hoarding? Or do you have a giving script where you give and you're generous in terms of the way that God asks us to be? Is there a need for a script adjustment to take place in terms of our generosity? Or is something in your heart that is diverting you away from that generous script that God wants you to have? Scripting. We need to decide, secondly, about scripting. How we want to use the power of our words. This is something you need to predetermine. How you want to use the power of your words. We all tend to underestimate the power of our words. We underestimate. Can I have the screen up, please, boys? I'm trying to slowly emphasize that so you'll catch up with me right there. Underestimate the power of our words. Words are more than a sound. They're more than just a capsule that carries something to communicate to the ears of another person. Words actually have creative power. They change environments. They change atmospheres. The moment I highlighted just then that I needed a new screen up, it changed the atmosphere in the room straight away, because I embarrassed the person that's on that. It changes it. When you say a cutting word to your wife or to your husband or to your work colleague, it changes the atmosphere straight away, and you know it. Turn to your neighbour and say, you wait until you get home. It's like when a mother says to a child, you wait until your father gets home. You've been playing up all day. And they say it. Mums can be so cruel sometimes. Seriously, it's not Mother's Day, so let's get real. They can be so cruel. And they say, you wait till your father gets home. He's going to deal with you. So the poor kid, the atmosphere changes at that moment for that kid who's fun-loving, enjoying life, just having a great time. All of a sudden, he's shut down, waiting in fear for dad walking through the door to deal the discipline out. Scripting, decide how you want to use the power of your words. They have amazing, incredible, creative power. We all have words. It's a matter of how you want to use them. Proverbs 12:18 says this, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Here's a question. Are you a cutter or are you a healer? Are you a cutter or are you a curer? Are you a healer of people with your words? Proverbs 18:21 says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Can't say I've ever had poison, but I love fruit. Fruit's good. Fruit's sweet. Fruit's good for the body. Words either give life or words take life. Are you a life giver? Or are you someone that takes life from people with your words? Do people feel better when they've listened to you? It's always a good thought. Do they feel better when they've listened to you? Words are extremely powerful. Proverbs 11:12 says, to quarrel with a neighbour is foolish. A man with good sense holds his tongue. This is a verse I need to remind myself of often. Especially if you're good with words. Because if you're good with words, you like the debate. You like the argument and the opinion. And if you're good with your words, you know that you can destroy someone without lifting a finger. I can cut you down with my words because I know how to use words. Words are lethal. Words are life-giving. Words are life-taking. And take the counsel of Proverbs. To quarrel with a neighbor is foolish. Walk away. Walk away is what we need to learn to do. And it's not easy to do when you're good with your words, but it's necessary to do. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful in building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Just because others talk a certain way doesn't mean we should talk a certain way. Generationally, we need to understand that, because sometimes there's things you hear people say and you think, man, I'm pretty sure that should not be coming out of your mouth. And yet when you challenge it from my position as being in the older generation, your challenge is, you're just old. No, I'm not old. It's biblical. It says, don't let the unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what's helpful in building others up. So when we use our words, am I being helpful or am I hindering? Do I promote? Do I pull down? Do I build or do I boast? Do I bring peace or do I bring pain? It's my decision. So make a decision how you want to use your words. This is a powerful part in creating a new script, is using words very carefully and thoughtfully and intentionally, deliberately. Compliment rather than criticize. It's so easy to criticize anything and everything and anybody and everybody. But learn to compliment. It creates a better atmosphere and life and moment. Learn to cover rather than expose. Don't allow critical, gossipy, negative conversations to happen around you. Don't give them airtime. Don't give them energy. Don't give them voice. Stop them with you. Stop the flow of the conversation. Shut the door on that. Don't let people dump their verbal garbage on you. You know, you wouldn't allow someone to pull a garbage truck up at your driveway and just dump it on you. Yet people allow that to happen verbally all the time. Don't allow it to happen. Highlight it and make them stop it. Highlight it and make them stop it, because they do it everywhere, people that do this, and we need to learn to stop it and not allow it to happen, because those conversations, they leave a residue or a stink in your heart that you don't want to live with, because it won't take you to a good place at all. The last thing I want to say today about scripting and steering is this. In regards to scripting, use your tongue like the pen of a skilled writer. We talked about this last week, or a steering wheel. Use your tongue like the pen of a skilled writer or a steering wheel. Psalm 45 is our analogy we started with. Verse 1, it says, "My heart is stirred with a noble theme. My heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer." So the psalmist is likening his tongue as the pen of a skillful writer as he thinks of the poetry and the lines he's going to write for the king. And he says, "My heart is stirred by a noble theme." I'm not sure what stirs your heart, but I pray it's noble things. Let's have our hearts stirred by noble things and noble themes for this year. The theme of my heart is always the product of what I am reciting. So the things I'm talking about, the conversations that I'm having. So what are you reciting? What are you declaring? What are you proclaiming? What are you even prophesying over your life about the future? I mean, from the Word of God, do you take the Word of God and allow it to become your word? Because this is a great instrument of how to re-script, is to take the Word of God and make it your word. Where the Word of God says, "I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me." It doesn't mean I can leap off buildings and be Superman, because I just can't do that. God's not going to strengthen me to jump up on the building and jump off today. It doesn't mean that kind of thing. It means I can do all things that God has called me to do because Christ has strengthened me. I can be what God needs me to be. I can do what God needs me to do. Why? Because Christ Jesus strengthens me. That's the kind of script I want to script, rather than "I can't." Rather than insecurity, "I can't." Rather than inferiority, "I can't." Rather than living in seclusion and polarization, "I can't." Because if I keep saying "I can't," I never will. But if I start to say "I can," why? Not because of anything in me, but because the fact that Christ Jesus strengthens me, just maybe I will one day. Just maybe I will one day, and I'll find my voice, and I'll grow my wings, and I'll be whatever it is that God has called me to be, because there's something bigger on the inside that you don't yet see. That we, like I said to Mitch, there's something in there. There's something on him that maybe he doesn't even see. Wherever you are, Mitch, there's your hat. Maybe there is something bigger than you see or you declare even. And let it be by the confession of your mouth, I can be. The Bible says Jesus is the high priest of our confession. In other words, he's looking over our declaration, our self-prophecy, our self-proclamation about who we are and who God has called us to be. And he's the high priest over that. There's power in your declaration. There's power. The Bible says in Joel 3:10, it says, let the weak say, I am strong. You don't often hear the weak saying that. You hear the weak saying the opposite of that. And a lot of us have a problem with it when you hear the weak say that they are strong, because now you think, no, the weak are weak. Just call it what it is. Just say it as it is. You're weak, you're weak, you're weak. No, when you're weak, you need that declaration of, I'm strong. Why am I strong? Because God's on my side. God can. God is able. He can do what he needs to do in me and through me. That's the scripting I want to have in my heart. I don't want the scripting of negativity. I'm going to use my tongue like that of a skillful writer. Can I have our team come to stage, please? We started this journey in James last week, 2-6, and I want to read these verses to you as we draw to a close, where it says this. It's the same concept about our tongue. He says we all get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. It's a common theme for all of us that we have challenge with our words. He says we all get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. If you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you have a perfect person in perfect control of life. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of the mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It takes only a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world. We can turn harmony into chaos. We can throw mud on a reputation. We can send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. Here James talks about a horse, powerful beast, controlled by a little bit in the mouth. He talks about a huge ship, steered by a little rudder, that in the fiercest of storms, the skilled captain can set the course of that ship by directing the rudder straight into the fiercest of winds. In other words, James is saying, when your life is under attack, when you're in your moment of challenge, when everything that should be going right is going wrong, you can set the course by the overflow of your heart, what comes out of your mouth. You can direct it into the fiercest of challenge and winds. Why? Because words are powerful. It's not an insignificant theme in the Bible at all. It's covered in many places. The power of the tongue, the power of words to frame our world. Can I encourage you to use your words to steer your course and stay on course? Would you stand to your feet with me, please? To steer your course and stay on course. Let your words steer the atmosphere you want to have in your home, in your relationships, in your workplace, around your life, the aroma that's around you. There might be a stench around you at the moment because of the garbage verbally that others have thrown at you and on you, and you've embraced it. Well, put a new sign up. No dumping here. Don't dump that. I don't want that garbage around me. I have a different script. You might be in challenge today and feeling very weak. Well, let your declaration be, with God's strength, I'm strong. You might feel like you can't do it. Well, let your script be, with Christ Jesus, I can do all things. You might feel like you're under attack and you're so vulnerable that you can't do it. Let your scripting and your reciting be, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And activate the power of life-giving words in your life right now.
and let God's word control your word. Let God's word speak into your heart. This all started in Genesis. When God asked Adam, who told you what you're living right now, Adam? Who told you that? It's not a script I gave you. Make sure you get the right script. Don't believe the script of every experience you have or every conversation you have. You can make it a reality and you can get diverted and distracted and detoured. Get the right map. Get the right scripting. Get the right steering. And it will direct your life through every challenge, through every storm, through every season, through every moment. No matter where you're at. Father, in Jesus' name today, we embrace your word. We embrace your word about scripting and steering today. We embrace the value of your word. Words are important to you. Word is a title that was given to your son, Jesus. He is the word. Word's a title that we give to your holy word. The power of your words. Help us to understand the power of our words as we engage to script our life. We don't want to make the mistake that Adam made and run from you and hide from you because of our vulnerability, but that we'd run into you to get our script mended. Our script rewritten is what we pray. Help us all, Father, because for most of us, every time we open our mouths, we get it wrong. Like James said, we have great challenge with this, and yet it's so, so important in terms of the steering of our lives. We love you, God. We love you. We surrender our hearts, our lives, the meditations of our heart to you today. We pray that our hearts will be stirred with a noble theme, is what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Part of our scripting, as we spoke last week, is about our praise, our worship, how we lean into the heart of God. This is not just a song to conclude a service. This is a God moment to seal a word and lean into it. So right now, why don't we take just a few moments to team lead us in this song of worship and lean into the heart of God today. Lift your hands. Let's sing.